This morning is coming from the Old Testament in Psalms 107. Later I will read a verse from the New Testament and quote several of them, I think. But as we read this, we're talking about, oh, that men would praise the Lord. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Let's read. We won't read all of 107. It's a long psalm. And if you go home, you might want to read it. It's like it has a chorus, ever so many verses. It said, oh, that men would praise the Lord. And then it lists things that God has done. And then it says again, oh, that men would praise the Lord. So let's read it this morning and be blessed by the word of God. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul, and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Isn't that beautiful? Wonderful. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for what he's done for them. And you know, we come to church and we go home sometimes, and have we praised him? Have we thanked him? And I have to tell you something. If you wait until you come to church to worship the Lord and praise the Lord, you're waiting too long. You got up this morning, you ought to have private worship time. You go for a walk in the woods or in the fields, you ought to have private worship time. You ought to have a time in your life. It doesn't have to be the same time every day. It doesn't have to be the same length every day. But there ought to be a place in your heart and your life to praise God and worship him for all he's done. I have to tell you, folks, God is a good God. If he wasn't, we'd all be gone. If he wasn't merciful and loving and forgiving and all of that, folks, we wouldn't be here. But the wondrous thing about God is he's just marvelously on our side. Now, God likes for you to praise him. Now, we don't necessarily need to praise each other, but God likes to be praised. And he asks for your praises. That's kind of sad if you think about it, that God would have to ask us for his praises. They ought to just roll out. They ought to just come out every which way. And you think about all that God has done and anticipate all he will do. We need to praise the Lord. Because the scripture said that God lives where? In the praises of his people. Right in here, God lives. And you say, I'd like to get God moving in my heart. I'd like to get God moving in my life. Start praising him. Start thanking him. Start listening. You ain't going to get the power and the victory listening to Lynyrd Skynyrd, folks. You're just not. Sorry, you're not. You're not going to get it from the Grand Ole Opry necessarily. You're not going to get it anywhere. But I can tell you this. You don't have to have perfect pitch. You don't have to have all the words. My mother, we used to laugh at Mommy. The kids still do. She'd be washing dishes and cooking and doing things in the house. And Mommy sang. I have noticed that Christian people get happy and sing all kinds of songs. And Mommy would pray, but she didn't know all the words to it. So we'd hear Mommy in there praising the Lord and singing. And after a while, she's going, do, 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 do. It's kind of funny because she didn't know the words, but she knew the tune. Thing of it was, she knew the Savior. And God will bless that whether we know the words right or not, whether we understand everything or not. God sees our heart. Now, that used to scare the bejabbers out of me before I was saved, that God sees our heart. But He does. And that's a good thing. Because I don't know about you, but I can't all, and I'm a wordy person. I say a lot of words in a week's time. But I can't always say what I feel and what I think. Sometimes it's just all I can do. But God knows. God knows my heart. So we lift our voices to Him and we praise Him. Number one, because He asks us to. Number two, because we've got a lot to praise Him for. So as we look at that this morning, we want to think about ourselves as individuals and as a congregation. My friend, we don't need to be inhibited about praise. We need to be open to lift our souls to heaven and praise God, and to praise Him with other people and praise Him by myself. And we say, well, nobody else is praising the Lord. Well, that's a good reason for you to be praising God. Don't wait on their lead. You do it. But it's nice to have a leader. Now, I don't know how much people have known through the years. Praising the Lord and worshiping God evolves a little bit with the character of each congregation. Every church congregation has its own character, its own things that they do. You're not going to hell if you don't sing exactly the same songs that the church over the hill sings. You're not going to hell if you miss the cue on the notes or something like that, my friend. But what you need to do is worship the Lord. And I suppose the oldest book written in the Old Testament, at least scholars think that, is the book of Job. Now, the first five books are Moses wrote, and they're very ancient. But Job was a patriarch. He was there before Moses or before Aaron or any of that. And he knew about worship. You know how often Job worshiped? Every day. And you know why he worshiped so much? Because one thing was he had a house full of kids. Now, if that hadn't make you prayed already, then you must have a tiny little baby that just got here day before yesterday. Job had 10 children. And he was afraid that when he wasn't watching, they'd get out and get into something. So every day, just to be sure that he had everything covered, what did he do? He sacrificed and he prayed and he worshiped before God and prayed for his children because he was afraid that they might get into something. So worship is an old thing and a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's something that you can put your teeth in and rejoice in. And I have to tell you, we have been a worshiping congregation through the years. We have been a people that were taught to sing, to play music, to lift our hands and our voices, to lift our feet from the floor. And we have been taught, and by the way, pretty much have practiced being worshipers. But we need to continue that. We need to continue more to do that. And sometimes we need a worship leader. Sometimes it helps if there's someone who will encourage us to praise the Lord. Well, you know you'd be more blessed hearing Lucille sing than you would hear me sing. I mean, that's just common sense. Lucille, I thank you for your strong voice, because if I stand over there next to the piano, I think I can sing. Do you know that really is the truth? That you can, if you stand next to a good voice, that you can pick that up? And I'll tell you what, if you stand next to a real bad one, you can get off key every time. But the Lord will understand that. The Lord will understand that. So what we have is maybe we need somebody to lead us in worship. And you say, well, how would that work? Well, I'll tell you how it worked. The children of Israel, and they go into this in the 107th Psalm. The children of Israel were slaves. they were in Egypt and they were mistreated. They were treated bad. They were whooped and beat and killed. And just terrible situation they lived in. And God sent Moses down with a message from heaven from Mount Sinai. And he blessed them. And God showed his hand mighty against Pharaoh and the Egyptians. And Moses and the children of Israel went out of Egypt, crossed the sea on dry land, the Red Sea, and out on the other side. And you know what they did when they got on the other side? They had a shouting good meeting. You say, oh, I don't know if people ought to get up and carry on in church or not. Well, then how come you do that for the Spartans or the Green Wave or the Mavericks? How come you do that? How come you go to Blacksburg and hoop and holler and jump over seats for Virginia Tech, whether they win or not? I mean, how come that? How come it's all right? How come people think it's all right to be boisterous and happy for a ball game? You say you condemn the ball. No, I'm not condemning the ball games. I'm just asking you where your priorities are. Why can you shout for the Yankees but can't shout for Jesus? And you say, people don't shout. Well, last time I saw people at a ball game, and I haven't been to many for a long time, they were on their feet. They had their hands up in the air like this. They were stomping their feet and sometimes singing a chorus and sometimes playing music in a band. When Moses got to the other side of the Red Sea, and you got to think about this, Moses is 80 years old. And his sister Miriam is 91 years old. And they have come out of Egypt, crossed the sea on dry land, and came out on the other side. And you know what they did? Moses and Miriam got tambourines. You say, like that one over there? Like that girl was playing a while ago? That's right. They got a timbrel or a tambourine, and they began to beat out time on it. And as Miriam and Moses stood on the banks of sweet deliverance, they stood there and beat their tambourines and praised God and danced. You say, danced? Yes, danced. Moses, a 91-year-old woman and an 80-year-old man, she was leading the women and he was leading the men. Go back and read it. It's a good story. And they praised God and danced on the banks, looking back at the river that had gone smooth now and the water had gone back, and all of Pharaoh's army and Pharaoh himself were in the bottom of the Red Sea. And they sang the song of redemption. God has redeemed us. God has saved us. God has given us power. God has brought us out of that. And my friend, that's the kind of leaders we need. The people that will lead us in worshiping and praising and glorifying God for what he's done and what's happening. I suppose that the greatest worship leader in the Bible would have been King David. He knew how to worship privately. He played a harp. He spent a lot of time out on the hill with his sheep and he played. And I have to tell you something, folks. Have you ever heard the Holy Ghost come into music? How many of you would admit that? I've heard the Holy Ghost come into music. Yeah. Holy Spirit come down and man, you couldn't write music on a page that would take up for what's done. You see the glory of God come down and bless the people and the Spirit of God come in. David knew how to worship privately and he knew how to worship publicly. And you know what? He had power in his playing and singing, didn't he? When King Saul would get a demon and be tormented, they would call little David. And he'd come with his harp and begin to play and begin to sing. And you know what? The devil had to move. And I'm going to tell you something, my friend. If Satan's tempting you, if Satan's tempting your mind, if Satan's bringing things to you that you know aren't right or tempting you to do things that's not right or you're thinking things that's not right, my friend, just begin to sing. Praise him. Satan can't stand it. You can sing Jesus on the main line. I'll tell him what I want to. Satan can't stand it. So as you begin to play, I used to watch my Aunt June. She loved to come to church and went everywhere with Sister Effie and them playing and singing. She didn't play or sing except privately at home. But she stayed in the store during the day when I would be at school or somewhere else. And I'd come in the store. There was a little place just wide enough for a chair between the window and the ice cream freezer. And she sat in that chair when there weren't any customers there. And if you come in and listened right close, you'd find that she was singing. And she used to sing, I'd hear her singing, "Camping in Canaan's land. Every day I'm camping in Canaan's happy land." And she'd have a Reese's cup box for a tambourine, beating it on her hand, beating out the time, and singing about the blessings of God. It was such a wonderful thing. Rodney's grandma over at Eggleston, she loved to sing. Anytime you came there, she would be singing. And Rodney's mama did too, to tell you the truth. But they'd be singing and praising God for what he had done. So David understood that praising God was something that he needed to be doing. Now, he didn't say, "Oh, well, I guess we'll have to sing one of them praise songs." You ain't going to get no blessing out of that. I mean, if that's your attitude, you're sad. But how about praise God, the Pharaoh's in the bottom of the sea, the Egyptian army has been destroyed, and I've been saved, and I'm praising God for it. My friend, I want to tell you something. If you get God moving in your life, you're going to have things to praise God for, and you're going to want to praise him for it. Amen. David did that privately, publicly. Oh, you say he was a king. Yeah. His wife didn't like it. She was embarrassed. You ever been embarrassed because somebody was praising God and singing? Well, David's wife was embarrassed because they were bringing the Ark of the Covenant up and they were going to put it at Jerusalem. And as the procession came up the street and the music played and all the things happened, David threw off his outer garment and clothed only in his tunic and danced in the street in front of God and everybody. And you know what? God cursed his wife for cursing him. He understood what it took to praise God. And I have to tell you, my friends, sometimes we think that God can only move if it's spontaneous. That's wonderful, a spontaneous move of God, a spontaneous outpouring of worship and praise. That's a wonderful thing, folks. But you can have an orchestrated, that is a planned for praise. You don't have to wait till you come here, if you're a song person, to get the song that you're going to sing. Pray at home. Get God to give you the song he wants you to sing. When you get here, you'll be ready to go. You'll be ready to praise God. You'll be ready to join in. So when you come, yes, spontaneous praise is wonderful. Just pouring out of your heart. But listen, orchestrated praise, planned praise is wonderful too. Because we plan to sing when you come up there, when we come in. We plan to sing during the service. We plan to raise our hands and our voices and all of that to God. It's a wonderful thing. So we can have both orchestrated, planned worship, and we can have spontaneous worship. Only thing is, we need the Spirit of God moving in all of it. But I have found out, I always thought that if I ever shouted when I was first saved, God would have to knock me completely senseless, and I'd have to be off in a trance. It doesn't have to be that way, my friend. Doesn't have to be that way at all. God can move when you make a move. And I can tell you from experience, when the praises are there and the praises, if you shut it off, you'll just draw back. But if you make yourself available, my friend, if you'll take one step, put your hands up, clap your hands, walk with your feet, do something to praise God, God will come into that praise and will bless you with it and give you praise and glory. So my brothers and sisters, when you look at that, you have to understand. You say, "Well, that was David back in the Old Testament." It was. And you know what? When we get to heaven, we're going to sing. I can prove that. And you say, what are we going to sing? You're going to sing the song of Moses. The Bible said they sang the song of Moses and the Lamb. What was they singing? I've been delivered. Man, if you can get happy here with an arthritic body and all the things that go along with everything going on, and if you can get happy in that condition and praise God for and sing He Set Me Free, just think what you could do in heaven with a new body. Just, man, I can't imagine. We sing sometimes when the saints go marching in, and that sure is awful good for New Orleans. But I have to tell you, folks, can you see us all getting in line marching anywhere? I don't think so. But I tell you what I can see. I can see us walking through the gates of pearl and on streets of gold. And when we look up on the apex of that city at the highest point, I can see a rainbow covered over the throne of God and all the way around it. The whole rainbow is going all the way around it, and the floor is made out of crystal glass, my friend, and 10,000s times 10,000s times millions. All the redeemed of the Lord from all the ages standing before Him. My friend, there's going to be a mighty shout go up in glory. And it's going to last forever. Not just a few minutes, but forever. Hallelujah. So when we look at the scripture in the New Testament, Paul says to the church to speak to ourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Wow. I'm sorry for some folks in this world that are Christians. You say, why would you be sorry? Because they don't believe it's all right to have any musical instruments in the church. There are whole denominations that do not believe that it's right to have any instrument, organ, piano, whatever. They don't believe in musical instruments. They think it's wrong. They think it's a sin. I'm so sad for them. They're just missing so much. One day we had a funeral, and I can't remember exactly how it was, but we came back down here for the meal after the funeral was over. And one of the preachers of the family was in the crowd, and he came up here and wanted to see the sanctuary. And we came up and walked around here, and he said, you got a organ and a piano and a drum and a guitar and a keyboard and tambourines. He said, what's your congregation think about that? I laughed. I said, this is a Pentecostal congregation. We don't think nothing about that. That's what we do. They expect to do that. They expect there to be music. They expect for us to have a joyous worship of the Lord. So you say, is it all right to have instruments? I don't think he would have told us to speak to ourselves in psalms. What do the psalms tell us? Play on the instruments of 10 strings. Isn't that what he says? He says, pray on the tambourines. Play on the organs. Oh, he lists a whole list of musical instruments to play. Do you think God would be dumb enough to give us instructions to sing the psalms and the hymns and then tell us it was a sin to do it? Well, I tell you, people don't give God much credit, do they? Think about it, folks. He has given us the go ahead. Play music. Speak to yourselves in psalms, and the psalms will tell you all of these instruments to praise Him. Praise Him, praise Him. And you know what else it says? Praise Him in the dance. You say, oh, we can't dance. We can't dance in church. Well, you could if you weren't so inhibited. But my friend, we have the blessing of God within us. And I was reading the scripture this week. Just, if this scripture don't make you want to worship and praise God, I don't know what is. It's a description of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ when He was here on earth. And I want you to listen to the words that it says. The blind receive their sight and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Wow. Isn't that wonderful? Man, let's read that again. This is what a description of his ministry is. You see, John had prophesied, John the Baptist, that the Lord Jesus was coming, that he would come and bring the power. He'd be the Messiah. He'd be the ones they'd been looking for. But John came the time that Jesus started preaching. John was arrested and put in jail and sitting down in the dungeon. Oh, that had to be hard. John was used to being a man outdoors along the river and in the woods and all that kind of thing. He's sitting down there waiting for the time to come when they would sentence him, which, of course, caused him to be beheaded. And as he sat down there, he only heard snatches, people coming in say, well, did you know your cousin Jesus is preaching up in Capernaum? And there was a man up there that they let down through the ceiling, and he healed him. Did you know that he met a woman coming out of Nain, and her son was dead and on the way to the cemetery, and he raised him from the dead? Did you know, and it went on, but he just got snatches of it. So he said to his disciples, go ask him, are you the one? Are you the one? Or do we look for another? And they came to him, and Jesus is so wise and so tender. And Jesus says, go back and tell John. Go back and tell John. Tell John what? Tell him what you've seen. Jesus don't give him any message. He says, tell him what you've seen. Tell him what was going on down here and what was going on. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and my friend, the poor, have the gospel preached to them. Wow, isn't that wonderful? Praise God. I mean, they're having church. They are really being moved by God, and God is moving in them. You see, sometimes we make the mistake of where our affection is placed. We love our Pentecostal freedom in worship. Amen? Amen. Let me tell you something. We don't need to worship the worship. We need to worship the King. We need to worship the Lord Jesus. And in worshiping Him, then we have the victory and the power that God has for us to do. And I have to tell you, folks, we're going to be singing in heaven. I can prove that. Go to the book of Revelation. Go to the book of Daniel. We're going to be singing in heaven. And I'm sorry to say, no music people, they're going to be playing stringed instruments in heaven. Now, I don't know if they'll have a grand piano. That's a harp on legs. I don't know exactly what all is going to go on, but I can tell you this. They're going to sing the song of Moses and the Lamb, and they're going to play the harp, and they're going to rejoice in what God has done. If you think 2 million Israelites could be happy and dance on the banks of the river, of the ocean, and worship God and glorify Him, if you think they could put up a racket, you wait till you hear the one that's coming. You wait till you hear every Chinese person that's been saved, every African person that's been saved, every Anglo person that's been saved, every Native American that's been saved, every person of every nation, kindred, and tongue from all over the earth and all over the ages, and you're going to say, well, how in the world is anybody going to understand what's going on? Oh, don't worry about it. God will take care of everything, my friend. Methodist preacher told me one time, he said, I don't see how you expect God to hear you people over there and do anything when you pray. And I said, well, what's wrong with our praying? He said, all of you get to praying. Y'all pray together. Y'all pray at once. I don't see how you could hear anything. I said, he don't have any problem with it. He doesn't have any problem at all. God Almighty can hear everybody. Wouldn't that be silly to think that God couldn't understand ever how many people's in this building this morning? God couldn't understand us because all of our voices are mingled together. At any given moment, there are millions of prayers going up in every language, kindred and tongue on this planet. Everywhere they're going up. We stopped in Harding, Montana one time. We actually meant to go to a different town, but went to that one. Lord knows what he's doing. And we needed to find, we were looking for a Pentecostal church. And we found a poor church. I know it was poor because somebody had given them the ugliest green paint I ever saw to paint the church with. And we went in, and there was a lady there. And it turned out it was a mission church to the Crow Indians. And we went in, and it didn't take the woman there. It was a lady minister. It was a missionary. It didn't take her long to figure out that I was a preacher, and we all were Christian people. She said, they'll all be here at 11 o'clock, and we'll have church. And 11 o'clock came, wasn't anybody there. And I said, are you sure they're coming? She said, oh, yes, they live on a reservation, sir. Said, they don't have to punch anybody's clock. They go by their own. Well, in a little bit, a woman showed up. Her name was Gladys Crooked Arm. I'll never forget her name. And she spoke to us, and all at once, Indian people started coming from everywhere. The Crow are pretty dark, you know. And they began coming from everywhere. And we started having church. I wound up being in the pulpit, praying, hugging people, and crying. You see, what was you crying about? I tell you why I was crying. Because when they all got in there and they all started to sing, you know what they were singing? I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. I know it was the blood for me. And I cried. Why? That's the same song we sing. Here these Indian folks up in Montana are singing their little hearts out, praising God for what he's done. For what? The blood and the cross and the crown. My brothers and sisters, all over this planet. I suppose the Methodist preacher, he's gone on to heaven now, I hope. But I have to tell you, I suppose he's found out by now that God can hear all the people singing. Think how many languages this morning are being sung all over the country. We have, within a little distance of us, we have churches that have multiple languages in the same sanctuary at the same time. They'll be having Chinese service in this end of the church and be having another kind of service in this end of the church, but they're glorifying and praising the Lord Jesus. My friend, why wouldn't we want to praise him? Oh, that men would praise the Lord for what he's done for. Oh, that men could see the glory of God and praise him. And my friend, I grew up hearing people praise the Lord, not just in church, but in the daytime, and you'd hear people praising the Lord. Carl Godin and I were talking about this a while back. He said when he's a boy, he'd hear Brother Underwood over at Little Creek, and he'd hear Brother Linkus over there, and they'd be out in the mountains and hear their voices just crying out to God as they called on him and praised him. I grew up hearing people praise the Lord. I was surprised one day when a man I knew he went to a Pentecostal type church, and he had married a Pentecostal type woman from our kind of people. And he was dumbfounded. He said, what's wrong with her? Said, she just speaks in tongues at home and runs through the house and waves her arms and praises God. Said, you're just supposed to keep that and wait till you go to church. And I thought, what kind of Pentecostal church is this anyway? My friend, I grew up with people who praised the Lord at home. I grew up with people who didn't have to put it on. They were there. They knew how to do it. We've seen God move more miracles probably in church than we have in the house. I mean, in the house than we have in the church. How wonderful it is. My friend, when you come to church, come ready to praise the Lord. Come expecting to praise the Lord. Come looking for God to move to praise the Lord. I wore this story out, but I'm going to tell you anyway. That's one of the perks you get when you get old. You tell the same story over and over, and everybody's respectful for it. But when Sister Geneva Blankenship married Roy and moved in here, they were living in a house right across the creek here, just right there next to the road, with his sister and her husband. And she'd never been around a holiness group of people or people that were Pentecostal type. She didn't know much about it. So she was standing on the front porch with Roy, and Roy was drinking coffee, and I remember all the details, and she was drinking a cup of hot chocolate. And she looked up the road, and here come a woman down the road, just a getting it. And it was Sister Sally Mars. And Sister Sally was walking down the road, but she was stepping high. She was sort of skipping as she went along. And her head was turned to the side. And as she got up there, Geneva said, "Well, Roy, what in the world?" She was speaking in another language. She was coming down the road to the church, and she was talking in tongues and praying. And she looked over at Geneva and said, "And I see you're going to come in too." And just kept right on going to the church. And she said, "Roy, what in the world's going on?" She said, "That's Sister Sally Mars. And Sister Gilmer's holding a meeting down there today." It was second Sunday. Said, "Sister Gilmer's holding a meeting down there today, and she wanted to be prayed up. She wanted to be prayed up when she got to church." So Sister Sally did what? She prayed through at home till the victory came. When she got in the road, she was ready to shout. She shouted all the way down the holler till they got to the church. Church done started then. How many of you ever seen church start in the yard? Several of you here have. Amen. That, what was she doing? She was praising God at home. She was worshiping at home. One Sunday morning, I'll tell this one to stop. One Sunday morning, I used to walk from the other side of the mountain over here to church. And the reason I walked was because I wanted that time to pray. And I left the house, went out by the Selenes and around the old road above the river. And as I turned, I knew exactly when I went through to glory. I had started praying up the other hollow. And when I got to the turn out there to go around the hill toward Clendenin, I went through to glory. And the Spirit began to speak. And the Holy Ghost began. I danced. I shouted. I hollered. Whatever you could do to praise God, I tried to do it. And I got all around, came down Janie Hill, and came down to where the crossing was. And I couldn't stop. I just couldn't stop. And so I climbed the hill up by where Slaughter's used to live, walked up the hill and walked out the ridge right there behind us. Not thinking about the church being right here under the ridge, I was walking out that ridge just shouting and having a good old time with the Lord, and never did stop, never did turn off. So I thought, well, I'll just go on to church. And I come back down the hill and come up the holler, and Bill Tate met me down there under the big oak below the church. And we started shouting some more. And by the time I got in the front yard, the whole church had been standing out in the yard listening to the preacher having a time in the woods with the Lord. And you say, people don't live like that. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And my friend, I want to encourage you today. The psalmist in 107 cannot believe that people don't praise God for what he's done. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Father God, I do worship you today. I do come into your presence with your people here and love you and care for you. I praise you, God, for every time we felt your Spirit, every time you've come down on us and give us praise and glory in our hearts and in our lives. Father, I pray today that your name will be glorified in this service and in every service. And Father, when we go home today, let us go home, Father, with a made-up mind to praise the Lord. Lord, you've done so many things for us, forgiven us of our sins, healed us of our diseases, brought to pass things that looked like were impossible. Lord, we thank you so much for that. And I pray that the hearts and minds of the people will be touched, and the glory of God will be with us. And Father, we will not fail but to give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' holy name. Congregation said, amen.